Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, hour number two. Not a full hour, of course, because we will step out at 7:45 for the SEC report and our last hour of the week with you on air because, well, it's the night before game. In fact, we're less than 24 hours before game time. One of the guys who often makes the pilgrimage to Lexington to cover the Wildcats is a frequent guest of ours, friend of the show, John Lewis, WDRB, who has covered the Wildcats for many, many years. John, good evening, sir.
You made me sound old, Dick. Many, many years. We are old. That's right. That's right.
You started as a child. I remember that. So
very good. I was 12, correct.
And you're out covering high school football tonight, so it's not like you're busy or anything. But people have been looking to frame this game, John, in historic terms. And you've seen some, quote-unquote, big games in Lexington, but it's been a while since Kentucky has been a contender in the Southeastern Conference. And there were a couple of Georgia games where if Kentucky wins, it either goes to Atlanta or is one step from Atlanta. It's not quite the same tomorrow, but how big would this be for the Wildcats to knock off Florida? Kind of an obvious question, but what's your take?
No, I think it's big because there is a lot of hope for Kentucky this year, and as the season has gone along, I mean, we've seen that. Now, even with some flat performances, they've still been able to win. I mean, how many times, Dick, you know, since you and I have covered the Kentucky Wildcats, have we, just like you said, man, the SEC East, this is Kentucky's chance to do it right here, and they always just come out flat or drop the ball somewhere, sometimes literally. But I think this would be huge because this is Florida. It's the top 10 team coming to Lexington. And if I'm correct here, Kentucky has not beaten Florida in Lexington since 1986.
That is correct.
There's a lot on the line here, and I think that would be – it'd be a huge win. But and I think there are a lot of UK fans out there who might frankly be expecting a win. I can't blame them right now. Even with some flat performances that they have had, they've been able to win, and that means a lot.
We've seen Florida teams roll in here and face Kentucky and Gainesville that really look like pro teams in terms of size and athletic ability. And of course, many of those kids have gone on to the NFL where Kentucky was scratching and clawing. Well, Kentucky's now pumping kids into the NFL, but it looks, John, like Mullen has Florida back among the elite or is knocking on the door of the elite. Got to get to Atlanta to make that claim. But, sure. You know, Florida was backing up there for a while. That's not the case anymore, is it?
No, but, you know, even, Dick, you'll remember there were times, I think it was Danny Werfel that came in there. Kentucky looked like they had him beat.
Yep.
Danny Werfel just throws that tremendous pass into the end zone for a touchdown. So the history is there. But, yeah, this is not certainly not a struggling Florida team or a team that has not lived up to expectations. No, it seems like Mullen has that Gators team on the right track. But you bring up a very good point. What, you know, you start watching the NFL right now, and people that are just keep track of the Kentucky players that are going in there. I mean, these are good players now. This is not an anomaly like it used to be. Like, oh wow, that's a big deal for a UK player to be playing well or to even be on an NFL roster. Times have changed very much so under Mark Stoops.
Yeah, it's not quite Calipari with the NBA or Saban with the NFL. I think Saban on the Manning broadcast the other night said Alabama had like 73 people in the NFL. So that's just insane. But, yeah, it's not a surprise when a Kentucky guy makes a roster. And really, that's what it's all about. And John, like you said, we've covered games where Kentucky's been in it, and then it gets away. And I think if we backtrack, if we go back and really study it, It obviously comes down to talent, but it comes down to depth. I mean, you can fight and scratch your way into the fourth quarter, but if your frontliners are exhausted and the backup kids are your practice players, you haven't got much of a chance. And that's not the case anymore, is it?
No, no question. And, you know, on those lines, especially if you're trying to run the ball in the SEC, man, you know, those offensive and defensive lines, they get worn out, and this is a running league. And I tell you, I mean, now times have changed. It's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. But you're right. The depth now, that's one of the things. You can have the greatest starting 11 that you could have on either side of the ball. But until you get some of those backups there, especially on the line, that's where you start to have the issues getting into starting to grind, trying to grind these wins out in the third and fourth quarter. that's another thing that Stoops has done. Stoops has brought in some very good starters. Now he's got some depth. And when you start looking at the depth of those lines, that's where you can, you know, UK fans should absolutely have hope. And I don't think it's like hope for some tremendous upset. UK, yes, they're an underdog, but it's not like they're such an underdog that this would, I don't know that it would be a, you know, tear down the goalpost kind of win, because I think now these kinds of things are expected.
Yeah.
You know, John, talking about the NFL, there's a big matchup at 4 o'clock between two Louisville Cardinals. It's Teddy versus Lamar and Baltimore versus Denver. I feel like the whole city wins in that game.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's on another network that's not WDRB, so but I will be interested to see the ratings on that. You know, and Lamar Jackson right now with Baltimore dealing with some back issues, so he's gone from, like, healthy to questionable back, and they seem to think it's not a big deal, but... But, yeah, I mean, that, you know, Louisville is another team that is, you're starting to see a lot of those players start to go into the pros and do very well. And, I mean, that's been the case for some time, but now this is a different level. You've got two former U of L quarterbacks who have, and it's funny, they've gone back and forth like mutual admiration society on Twitter. So I wonder what the competitive edge will be there when they get on the field. It might be a lot different, but that will be interesting to see. Two very beloved quarterbacks here in town, by the way.
And accomplished a heck of a lot, obviously, including a Heisman Trophy for Lamar. We'll get back to the Wildcats in just a minute, but I got to ask you, because we were watching the Louisville-Florida State game while we were awaiting Kentucky-South Carolina last year. Florida State, I don't know if it's hit rock bottom, John, but how bad is that program now?
I don't know if it's rock bottom, but if it's not, they can see it from where they are right now. It's just it has just fallen off the map. And you know, how long do they put up with that? I mean, I know there was some rebuilding and some things that are trying to go under there with Mike Norvell, but this is just. I mean, when is the last time we've even seen a Florida State team like this? I remember going to Tallahassee when Florida State was okay, but then they were still able to grind out a win over U of L. It just seems like that was. That was a place that Louisville, since joining the ACC, did not have a lot of success, and not a lot of teams had success in Tallahassee. But this is like, I mean, talk about falling off the map. It's just really surprising what's going on with that team.
John, switching gears here for a second and switching the topic to the Louisville basketball team, I'd love your take on the NCAA's IARP's decision to include recently reported allegations of recruiting and practice violations as part of the school's existing enforcement process. I mean, the FBI thing happened almost 4 years ago, John. I think more than 4 years ago. How is this going to get lumped in?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, that you would think that, it probably would have been in previous times. This would be something separate that the NCAA would have looked at and, called this, okay, these are two, level two violations. But now it's just all lumped into this giant case, and that is not good for U of L because they're already trying to defend themselves from a previous administration, previous coaches, previous athletic director, the whole works. And now you've got this piled on top because the defense was, hey, look, we got rid of all these people that you're accusing us of having these issues with. We got rid of that. But now the new people they've brought in, I'm not saying Vince Tyree, but, Chris Mack and everything that's going on with the basketball team, these are new violations, and that is going to be really tough when you're trying to defend yourself now against two separate issues. That looks really, really bad for Louisville. I mean, whether it's going to look bad, with the NCAA, who knows? But they're still, as U of L said, they're still planning to keep this process going through the spring of 2022. I don't know when it's ever going to get over with.
Yeah, and in case you're unaware, you could go to WDRB.com and read Eric Crawford's coverage of the story. But this is not linked in terms of the wrongdoing, the alleged wrongdoing, to what the FBI was looking into. This all popped up, John, didn't it, during this Chris Mack versus Dino Gaudio situation. This kind of came to light, as Eric writes, which meant level two charges, which, as you know, sometimes you can trip over a garbage can and break a rule like that. But on top of all these others, boy, it just doesn't stop.
That's the thing. The level two charges would be, using impermissible kids like during a scrimmage. And another thing that you might have heard, they called them 30 for 30s. And what they were doing, they were making these videos aimed at recruits. It was really kind of a name, image, and likeness thing. Yeah. They're aiming these at recruits. And those were, in the grand scheme of things, very minor, level two issues that were, but that's when this all came out because of the extortion tip from Dino Gaudio, who told Chris Mack that if he didn't get paid, he was going to tell the NCAA and the school all about what was going on. Those even though they were minor violations, because Dino Gaudio knew U of L was already skating on thin ice anyway, and he had the upper hand because he knew that even though these are level two violations, it looks really bad for Louisville, who's already trying to defend themselves against the NCAA's other violations. I mean, it's just an absolute mess, and if anyone has ever heard some of the unfiltered Dino Gaudio recordings, it sounds like a mobster movie. Yeah, he wanted to get paid. He was really angry. He was angry, and even the federal judge said, I don't even know why this is in my courtroom. This is a guy who obviously got angry and just wanted his money. But the NCAA doesn't care about that. The NCAA is looking at a program who has had multiple violations, and now, even though they're minor, two more on top of that.
Yeah, I don't know about death penalty, as some people have speculated, but I do think U of L sometime in the next couple of years might be looking for a new basketball coach. Why don't we steer it back to a happier discussion, at least for now, because they haven't played the game yet. First of all, are you assigned to this game tomorrow night, Kentucky, Florida?
No, I'll be in pancake makeup in the studio for tomorrow, so unfortunately. But Tom Lane will be there, as will Rick Bozich. They will be in Lexington tomorrow for WDRB.
You pretty much live in pancake makeup, don't you?
I mean, even at home, yeah, sure.
but you can still answer the question, though, John. What kind of what kind of atmosphere do you think we're going to see? Because I know you've been to some games where, you know, you could swing a garbage can and not hit anybody, and then you've been to games where you can barely hear yourself think. I think more the latter tomorrow night, don't you?
I think so. I mean, you're going to have, hopefully, you know, very good weather, maybe some scattered, you know, rain a little bit. But I think overall, this is UK, this is Florida, this is an SEC game in Lexington. I think the atmosphere is going to be incredible. And again, when you've got a team like Kentucky that is playing well, even though, as I said, they might have played flat in a few games, but they came out with a win. You've got a great quarterback, you got a great running back, you got depth on the lines, and an opportunity to do something that Kentucky hasn't done since 1986, and I think it's a good opportunity for them. I think that atmosphere is going to be great.
John, thanks for your time, and we'll keep in touch, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
That's John Lewis, and we're back in a minute, 6:30 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 6:30 WLAP.
Thanks again to John Lewis for joining us. Coming up at 7:45, it's the SEC Report. You know, we've talked a lot about what has gone on in the past with Kentucky football. Mark Story had a real interesting column, and I've talked before about this, the fact that Mark goes back and takes a look at history, and he did that with this, really just under Mark Stoops. You know, and the maddeningly close games, triple overtime in 14 when, Driscoll hits Robinson, 4th and 7, play clock had reached zero. You know, shades of the NFL, that Ravens game, the Ravens-Lions. That was right, Ravens-Lions, yeah. And that happens to Kentucky in 2014. 2015, Patrick Toles hits Dorian Baker, 41-yard touchdown pass. Whoops. Dropped the ball. Sure touchdown. He had gotten somehow Florida screwed up coverage. Baker wide open, dropped the ball. Wildcats lose it 14-9. Up 27-14 in 2017 in the fourth quarter. And lose it 28-27. That was the game where they left two different times, receivers uncovered. Oh, man. Luke Del Rio comes in and looks like a hero. And then up 21-10 in the fourth, Kentucky blows the lead, down 22-21, marches down the field, and misses from 35 yards. 54 seconds left. And then collapse. Florida just zip right down for another score. Won at 29-21. Oh, man. But remember these games? Kentucky's 4-0 in 2002, right? You remember that. Good start under Guy Morris his second year. Wild game in Gainesville. Gators ranked either ninth or seventh. They win it 41-34. Keewon Ratliff had a pick six and scored 2 points on a defensive conversion. Derek Abney, our guest on the show last night, had two special teams touchdowns. Billy, you were talking about special teams the other night and how Kentucky hasn't been very productive. Imagine, he became just the seventh player in D1 history that day to return a kickoff and a punt for touchdowns. The legendary Rex Grossman threw for 375. But here's what Kentucky did. Blocked two extra points, took advantage of the Florida punter who just dropped a snap. Who did that in the NFL earlier this year? Who dropped
the Browns?
The Browns, yeah.
Cost them the game.
Yeah, exactly. Florida did that day. Then they changed punters. Next guy, Kentucky, blocked a punt. And Ernest Graham, good running back, fumbled. Kentucky took it in quickly. But yeah, Abney had a 49-yard return of a punt, 100-yard kickoff return. And here's the thing. Ron Zook was the coach. He was a failure as a Florida head coach. But this is a guy who was a special teams guru, just like Urban Meyer, only his special teams that day were horrible. And still, Wildcats could not pull off a win. And then remember the game where Jared Lorenzen had that ill-advised pass. He was under pressure and kind of threw it backwards. Wildcats were up 18 points at one point, but lost 24-21. Chris Leak was a freshman. And I remember Mike Archer, the D coordinator, who people used to criticize, he doesn't blitz enough. Man, they blitzed all the time. And Archer was the proponent of the 3-4. He told me that in that game, they blitzed Chris Leak 27 times, and they never got caught, never got nailed with, you know, the perfect play by Florida or whatever. And this was Leak's first start. And he still threw a couple touchdown passes. A kid named Carlos Perez caught 5 balls for 102 and 2 touchdowns. But this turned out to be Florida's 17th straight win over the Wildcats. And weird things happening. Abney had a – we talked to him last night about it. Abney had a punt return for a touchdown negated by a clip that was upfield and on the other side of the field. Took a touchdown off the board. I think Kentucky might have eventually scored, but still you miss out on the emotional lift that that gives you. And who knows, Kentucky might have turned Florida over on downs on its next, you know, kicked off and scored right away. You'll never know. But, yeah, Kentucky's up 21-16, 4:46 to play. Channing Crowder closing in on Jared Lorenzen. Jared throws it away. Intercepted by Florida. Return to the one. Gators get the winning touchdown. Oh, man, that was rough. Arliss Beach scored 3 touchdowns for the Wildcats in that game. But, yeah, Abney, not only, Billy, was it a punt return for a TD, 86 yards. Wiped out.
I wonder if they get mad at their teammate after a penalty like that. I mean, I'm sure bad teams probably do. They blame it on each other, but I'd give the guy a nudge maybe when I go to the sideline. Hey, man, I just ran that back 82 yards.
Yeah, maybe so. Couldn't blame him, right?
No, I can't. No.
Well, all right. Now, after that litany of mistakes that I just described, got to be clean. If you're clean, you got a shot. And you got to make them make mistakes.
Can't beat yourself, Dick.
No, you cannot. They're too good. Is Notre Dame really an underdog at home? We'll talk about that. Coming up next, 6:30 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. It's our final segment. We'll make way to the SEC report as we count you down to Kentucky, Florida. Back to the phones we go. David's up next. How you doing, David?
Brother, I was listening to your recount of all the UK-Florida games in the last segment, and I just had to call.
Yeah.
Because I've been through all of them.
Yeah, I know.
In 2003, this is one of my greatest memories. I'm sitting there at Commonwealth Stadium. UK's beating Florida 21-3, starting the fourth quarter, probably into the fourth quarter. And my son, Brooks, who now writes for USA Today up in Philadelphia, he turned to me and he said, Daddy, we're not going to win, are we? He was nine years old, Dick, and I said, we're not going to win, are we, Dad? I said, no, we're not going to win, Brooks. He said, that's just the way it is.
Bless his heart.
He's the same kid who that same season came home from school. He said, Dad, we had to write a story in school today about our favorite place on earth. And I started right about the lake house at Nolin or about the beach, but my favorite place is Commonwealth Stadium.
Ah, no kidding.
And I said, son, you're doomed to a life of misery. And then in 2002, we were in Commonwealth for the LSU game with a miracle pass at whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought we won, Daddy. I said, so the other 70,000 people here, son, don't worry about it. So UK football, the love for UK football runs deep and long, just like the Nile River the Nile in Africa. It runs deep in my family and long. Last night I called and said we have a 20% chance to win, and I listened to you and Billy, and I think that if Levis plays a turnover free game or not too much, and we don't fumble a bunch of daggone balls, and don't throw a bunch of interceptions, so we got maybe a 40-45% chance to win. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, Dick. I love to hear your recounts of all those. The last time we beat Florida in Lexington, I was in law school at UK.
No kidding.
Sitting in my apartment on Leader Avenue.
Yeah.
Between Virginia Avenue and Waller. I was sitting there listening, so I didn't go to the game that day for some reason. But anyway, you guys have a great night,
weekend. Thanks, brother.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I know that neighborhood. I like to drive through that neighborhood and avoid some of the traffic on the Nicholas Hill Road. But I will tell you this. I think it was my freshman year, and Kentucky was playing Tennessee, end of the year. It's a similar story to what David just told. And my best friend at the time in Louisville, a guy named Frank, came over, got him a ticket, and Kentucky was driving. Kentucky ended up losing that game, if memory serves me, on a missed field goal at the buzzer. And I think that was the game. I'll have to look it up. I would have been ready for this, but I didn't know what David was going to say. If that's the case, that's the game where Kaywood mistakenly called it good and then had to immediately correct himself and say, no, it's no good, no good. And I will never forget because, you know, being able to work with Kaywood, I would see a ball go through the uprights. It would already be in the hands of the manager returning the ball before the officials signal. Kaywood would never say it's good or it's no good until he saw the official. And I asked him about it. I said, Kaywood, why do you wait so long? You can see it go through the uprights. He said, because I screwed that one up. And I will never make that mistake again, so I always wait for the officials. But anyhow, Tennessee was driving for what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown. And Kentucky's ahead. And it's me and then my buddy and then a guy next to Frank whose kid was with him. And it was kind of the opposite of David's story. Frank told me later, he said, the kid said to his dad, Daddy, we're going to hold on. We're going to win, aren't we? He said, son, they're going to drive the ball down the field and score, and they're going to beat us.
Son, we're the Kentucky Wildcats.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's just, and again, probably a Tennessee team that had so much more talent, But a Kentucky team that has played its butt off and just, you know, ran out of steam at the end of the game. So, oh, my God. John Short, I know that you've got a better story in mind, don't you?
Yeah, except for five biggins, for tomorrow night.
Five biggins. That'll be fine. That'll be fine.
Yeah, we've got a recruit coming in for next year, another recruit, I think, for the 2023
season. Right. That's right. Things are going well, John.
Yeah, I mean, one over Mississippi last Wednesday night.
Yeah, in fact, won the first two, dropped the next two, but won the third set, or won their third set was number five, yeah.
Yeah. So we're 9-3. You gave Mississippi's first loss.
That's right. And on their way, they hope, to a fifth straight SEC title, right?
That's right. I want more than that.
Oh, I know you do, John. Well, you got it last year. I mean, you
That's right. I know.
They only lost two matches last year, John. You were almost perfect.
That's right. But I thought we won more than five ACC titles. I thought we won like 10 or 15 of them. I thought we won more than that.
John, your standards are impossibly high, but I guess you've got to keep pushing, don't you?
That's right. And I'm pretty sure Tony plays some kind of game. I don't know if we play soccer or what. I don't know. Tony plays somebody. I don't know who it is.
I don't know, John. But I know that you'll predict a victory, whatever it is.
That's right.
That's right.
And then we've got another volleyball game Sunday.
That's right.
We win that one, too. We'll sweep that one.
John, I hope you're right, as always. I hope you have a good time tomorrow, brother.
Okie dokie, because it'll be – let me tune in at 2 o'clock.
Attaboy. Thanks, John.
See you. Welcome.
Just a couple minutes left. I mentioned Notre Dame. Game of the day in the league, in the SEC, of course, is Alabama Ole Miss in terms of sizzle. Nationally, though, Mr. Rutledge, Cincinnati ranked 7th. At Notre Dame ranked 9th. And the Bearcats are 2-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm not understanding this, Dick. I mean, Cincinnati got something up their sleeve? I mean, they've played Murray State. They've played Miami of Ohio and Indiana.
Yeah. Now,
so
this is according to the folks in the desert. They're pretty smart.
I mean, it seems like we're living off reputation from last year.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, no question. They won the AAC last year, 6-0. They destroyed everybody. Notre Dame's been pushed. Wisconsin took them into the fourth quarter, and then, you know, they put up, what were they down, 13-10? And then they put up 31 points in the fourth quarter in a tough spot. But, man, that's a 2:30 kick, by the way.
I may be betting on the Fighting Irish this weekend.
Maybe. I tell you. But, I always say they built those buildings in the desert with somebody else's money.
Now, Darren Hendrick predicted the spread of the Kentucky-Florida game before it came out.
Did he?
Said it was going to be between 8 and 10.
Yeah.
I think it sits at Kentucky plus 8.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by that line, or are you similar to Darren?
No. I think, you know, plus they're looking for action. You know, they want movement on both sides. I'll be curious to see if it changes tomorrow.
Maybe if it's bet down to 7.5 or something like that.
Yeah, if there's a hook involved. That's a big point, too, 7-8. That's huge, as you well know. Wow. Darren got that. Good for him. By the way, speaking of the AAC, for the moment, conference expansion has ground to a halt because the AAC had tabbed Boise State, San Diego State, Air Force, and Colorado State. We want you to join our conference. And believe it or not, all four of them said no thank you. They said, we are staying in the Mountain West. Thank you just the same.
Yeah, the geography doesn't make sense.
No.
At all.
No. Well, and you think about it. Again, we've talked about this a lot. Travel budgets, all that. But does it really matter? I mean, with all due respect, at that stage, at that level, I mean, I don't know the difference.
It doesn't for football or basketball, but it does for the field hockey team, right? And all the other sports.
Oh, no,
that
in
have
terms
to come
of travel,
over.
Yeah. I'm just saying because you got to think about football. What good would it do them to go to the AAC? Maybe more money in bowl games. That's about it. And I'm there may be more to that. I don't know. But I just love the fact that all four of them put their hands up and said, no, stop. We're staying here. Love that.
Compared to the Ohio Valley Conference, which seems to be crumbling.
Yeah, that's going to fall apart. Ah, well. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to all of you for your calls, your tweets, your comments. Join us tomorrow. Tom and Jeff and yours truly. Kentucky, Florida. That's it. Good night from Lexington.